Gentlemen,
today is Christmas Eve. You know, I had people ask me, he's like, are y'all having church on Christmas Eve? I'm like, well, we had church last Christmas, so I don't know why we wouldn't have church this Christmas Eve. So let's start off and let's go into, we're going to start off where we finished last and we'll see where we end up this week. So we're starting in Genesis 24:54. So, let's open the Lord in prayer. Mike, would you open us this morning, please, sir? Basically, he sent his head man off to a certain area because he doesn't want a son to marry just anybody. The bloodline, he understood God wanted a certain type of person. He wanted a certain type of family to move forward. And so he had an intimate knowledge of God, did he not? He had been walking with God for some 120 years. It was 65 when he left. But even at this particular time, even when you go back into it, it says that his family feared God and followed God at this particular time. God told him to leave his family and go out some 60 years ago, something like that. I'd have to do the math, but that's close to time frame. So anyway, he had been following closely to God. He actually left his homeland and went into an area where he was stranger to walk around because God told him to. That's how much he trusted God. And God had honored that trust all throughout his life, had he not? Even when he made mistakes, God still honored the promise that he made to him, right? Even when he was wrong, God still honored the promise he made to him. That's something we should say for our lives, right? Are we ever wrong? I for sure am. I guarantee it. Every day. But God made a promise to us when he gave us the word for salvation, when he died on that cross, to accept that, you become one of his family. That's how you get into God. And that's a promise, is it not? And that promise is not based on what we do. Just like the promise he made to Abraham was not based on what Abraham did, was it? The promise he made was a promise based on God's authority, on what God wanted to do. And God could only, when he made a promise, when he made a pact, the only thing he couldn't put his hand on a stack of Bibles. He could only put his hand on his own reputation. So when he swore by himself. We have a higher power to swear by. We have God we can swear by, but he can only swear by himself because he is the ultimate in the universe. Anyway, enough of that. So, that's the idea, is that he sent him out. He sent him up to his brother's house. And when he got there, you know, he said a little prayer. And lo and behold, the terms which he said, God honored him immediately. And that's how he knew that the woman that come out was the one God wanted for Isaac. Understand that Rebecca was chosen for Isaac. Just like Isaac was chosen by God to be the next in line after Abraham, right? You understand that Rebecca was chosen by God to be the spouse for Isaac. Because God could have made anybody come out in that particular time, couldn't he? But he allowed her to come out and fulfill the exact specifications of exactly what the prayer was immediately. It's amazing. It's amazing. That's the kind of God we have, people. So anyway, he did that. And so now it come to pass, and he said, I'm going to pack up just a little bit. And he had given them all kinds of stuff. Whenever she said yes, he said, you know, he's like, would you come? He's like, yes. So she put earrings on her, or a nose ring, and an arm things. It's kind of thing for the thing. I'm not into the nose ring things, but you know, whatever. but and bracelets on, and he gave all kinds of nice, you know, baubles to the family. Because let's face it, he brought 10 camels full of junk. I don't know how much you could put on 10 camels, but I bet you it's a lot of stuff. Okay? So he brought 10 camels full of stuff. So he brought forth, in 53 it said, and the servant brought forth jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment and gave them to Rebekah. And he also gave them to her brother and her mother precious things. So you understand that this is where we're at right now. Shia says, yes, I will go with him. So he brought forth all kinds of nice stuff. I think we call it a dowry or something in our terms, or wouldn't it? I don't know. Is my memory right? Old people? That's just wrong, but it's funny anyway. But I like getting him laugh out of Mike sometimes. I like making him laugh. But so, you know, he gave him stuff, and he gave the mother and the brother stuff. Okay, and he says, and they did eat and drink. He and his men that were with him tarried all night. They rose up in the morning. They said, send me away unto my master. In other words, he's not saying that I've got to get your approval to go. He's like, let me leave and go back to my master now. I've fulfilled my duty. I've done everything I'm supposed to. I like sleeping in my bed at home. Let me go home. Let me go home. Send me back to my master. I have fulfilled my job. Job done. Let's go home. It's amazing in our politics, sometimes it'd be nice if we could fulfill a job and go home. But no, we fulfilled a job and we had to stay over someplace for 40 years. But I digress. So he finishes what he will do. They have a good banquet that night. They eat and they drink their fill. They have a good party. They enjoy each other's company. They get up the next day and it's like, it's time to go. Let me go home. Release me and let me go home. I don't want you to feel that we are stealing your daughter and running off. Because that happens later on. They say, well, that's kind of where they feel. But that's down the road and we'll get to it later. So, what was their response? It says, her brother and her mother said, let the damsel abide with us for a few days, at least 10. After that, she shall go. We don't have a problem letting her go, but this is all of a sudden. Can you let the girl stay here for a couple of days? Can we get a chance to say our goodbyes at least? That's a completely legitimate request, is it not? Let me tell you something. Some man come in and want to make a deal for my daughter and you know, she says yes and everything like that, and they want to run off the next day. I'm thinking to myself, wait a second, let's slow this walk down a little bit, right? That's a legitimate request. So I don't fault the request on that at all. But he says, after 10 days, don't worry, she'll go with you. Let's get a chance to say goodbye to her. And they said, and he said unto them, hinder me not, seeing that the Lord hath prospered my way, send me away that I may go to my master. He says, don't bother me with this sort of stuff. You know that this is the will of God. Let me highlight that so I know where I am. It says, he said to them, hinder me not, seeing the Lord had prospered my way. God had made this possible. You know that what we're talking about is the will of God. There's no reason for you to complicate this action at all. Go ahead and release me and let me go home. I'm sure they were thinking, well, let's think about this for 10 days. And I'm kind of thinking back in the other one. Well, let's think about this for 10 days and let's see if she still wants to go out tonight. Or is this just a flight of her fancy? He's like, y'all know that this is the will of God. And if it's the will of God, it can't be stopped by man anyway, can it? So don't hinder me this. You know that this is the will of God. Send me away right now and let me go to my master. Release me and let's go. Let me go to my master. Let me go home. Let me fulfill my duties that I was set out to do. God has already prospered me in this way. Let me fulfill these duties that I was set out to do. And they said, we will call the damsel and inquire with her, inquire at her mouth. In other words, let's call Rebecca in and see what her feelings are on this. And they called Rebecca and said unto her, wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will go. So there was no hesitation at all. They called her in and they said, hey, you know what's going on. You heard all the stories. You know exactly what went on the night before. You know exactly what God has done. Are you willing to go ahead and go with this man and not wait 10 days? I have a feeling that this 10 days might have been something that was a cultural thing. I don't know. I just can't see somebody coming in and making a deal for a girl and then walking away with it the same day. I just don't see that happening as a father. I didn't have any girls, but if I was a father to a girl, I'd already have bigger shotguns. But I want to make sure that everything was on the up and up before I released my daughter out. Boys are supposed to be able to protect themselves, but girls, you got to protect. So they called her in and they said, what say you, Rebecca? What do you want to do? And she's like, I will go with this man. They asked her, will you go with this man? She's like, I will go. So there was no hesitation on her part. I have no problem with going with her. We'll go with him. And they sent Rebecca, and they sent away Rebecca, their sister, her nurse, and Abraham's servant and his man. So basically they sent Rebecca, her nurse, or the lady that has taken care of her all her life. I think that's in this particular thing, they kind of have one woman to come in and she's like the wet nurse and she's with her for the rest of her life. Probably something like Hagar was to Sarah, I'm guessing. We'll see. Anyway, so they sent her away with her nurse. Let me see. Abraham's servant and his men. And they blessed Rebekah and say unto her, thou art our sister. Be the mother of thousands of millions, and let thy seed possess the gate of those which hate them. Okay. Be the mother of thousands of millions. Be fruitful and multiply. May your loins produce multiple of children so that the world just could not count that many of them. That's what a woman was supposed to do at the time, right? That's the job of a husband and wife. It's not, when you marry somebody, what is your job? Why do you get married? Why did God say for the man and woman to get married? Be fruitful and multiply. You're supposed to be fruitful and multiply. That's what you're supposed to do. Now we have in America, we have like a 1.7 birth rate. You know, we don't even replace the amount of people we lose every year with real Americans. That's the reason why we had to bring people in from out of the country. There's a proven thing that in certain parts of Europe will be completely Islamic in the next 20 to 30 years simply on birthright. Because excuse my phrasing, you know, they procreate like rabbits. We don't. We have too much going on in our lives to burden ourselves with children. I've got to make my way in life, and I've got to be 40 years old, and then I want to think about having children. I had my first son when I was 21 years old, and people said that was too young. No, it isn't. It's a good time to have kids. When you have kids, when you're that young, you have a chance to grow and be part of their lives all through their lives and part of the grandbaby's lives. Is it tough? Yes. But you know, life is tough. Life is tough. But that's our job. And there's nothing wrong with that. So that's the thing. To go forth and be procreate, be when they look at that, whenever used to be, I was listening to something, and they were saying, I was listening to something on the radio or YouTube or whatever, and he looked back on his life. They went to like a family reunion, and he saw his great-grandmother there, and some 60 souls have come out of her. From a woman's standpoint, is that not a great thing? Look at the amount of lives that through you have come into existence. And if you weren't there, how many wouldn't have been there? That's what they're talking about here. You know, us men, they're not really our children. They're your children. Well, not in a point being that we tend to raise them, but there's something about being a mother that's so much more than being a father. And we think that, I don't want to get into male, female, mother, fathership, but there's something more to being a mother than being a father. Trust me. We don't look at it the same way. So, they wanted her to go forth and be very virulent in procreation. And it said, to let thy seed possess the gate of those which hate them. What's the idea with there? When it says your seed, what are they talking about? The children that come from your loins. Let them possess the gate of them that hate you. If you have the gate, it's like you have the way into the what does a gate do? A grass and egress for a town, right? So if you possess the gate, you possess the power over that town. You can control everything. May you be strong in the people that hate you. May you be able to be overcome all those haters out there, the people that hate you. Rebekah rose and her damsels. So evidently there was more than just her thing, because she has damsels. That's a plural. So she arose and her damsels, and they rode upon the camels and followed the man and the servants. And the servant took Rebekah and went on his way. So evidently they offloaded a bunch of stuff off the camels, because the damsels rode on the camels back to the thing. So they unpacked the thing, left just a bunch of stuff there, and brought stuff back. I'm sure there was water and food and all that other stuff. So it's going to naturally. But they unburdened their animals a little bit. And he took Rebekah and went on his way. So he's going home. Now, it says Isaac came from the way from the well of Laharoi. So that's a well out there, and it for he dwelt in the south country. So Isaac, he kind of dwelt out in the south area, and he was at a well, Laharoi. And when Isaac went out to meditate in the field at evening tide and lifted up his eyes, and behold, he saw camels coming. Now, do you not think that Isaac knew what his father was doing? I think he pretty much knew that his father had sent out the head of the household to go do what had to be done. So he was expecting this caravan to come in. Now, what Isaac was meditating on, no one knows. People speculating. People speculate all the time. You know, was he out there? What was he meditating? Was he thinking about God? Was he thinking about his life? Was he thinking about the woman that was going to come back? Nobody knows. It doesn't tell. But he was out there meditating. He was out there. He went out away from everybody else so that he could think. It doesn't tell us what he was thinking. But I read several different things, which people postulize a lot of different stuff. So, when he went out there, as evening time, so they were coming in to evening time, and he lifted up his eyes, and behold, he saw camels coming. Now, I guarantee you, he saw camels coming. Now, this could have been any caravan, could it not? There was no guarantee that it was the caravan that was sent out, but there was a caravan coming, and he probably knew that it was about time for them to make their way back and everything like that, so he's probably looking forward to it. I don't know about that. I don't know. Maybe one camel looks the same to me. I know. All cars look different. No, actually, if you work on it long enough, they all look the same anyway. So, until you open the hood. Okay, but I digress. So at that particular time, and it says, and Rebecca lifted up her eyes and she saw Isaac and she lighted off the candles. In other words, she saw Isaac and she jumped off the camel. Why did she jump off the camel? Well, it was kind of Oriental tradition. It's kind of like when you remember you're in the Orient, and to meet the man whelp on the camel was not kosher in the Oriental aspect. So she took and she had to get down off the camel. So she immediately jumped down off the camel, and she had said unto a servant, What man is this that walketh in the field to meet us? And the servant had said, it is my master. Therefore, she took a veil and covered herself. Why did she take a veil and cover herself? Tradition. She couldn't be seen by the husband until the night whenever it was. We saw the same tradition later on. Whenever, was it Lamech that takes and shoves his the first daughter in over the second daughter? I'm going to get there later on. But we see the same tradition. Jacob thought it was one girl when she was pushed, and he didn't even know about it till he got there and he lifted the veil. So, a tradition there was you cover the face. Most likely a burqa style thing, so you could see the eyes. Because it was one of those things, she was veiled until that particular time. Again, I personally don't think that's a bad tradition. In one way, it kind of takes, because us men, again, we're very visual focused, okay? So if you take and you cover up the product, you get to know the person more than the product. It's like, you know, I'm not going to go there. That's not a good analogy. But you understand what I'm saying. And nowadays, we got all of our females flaunt the product and draw in the man visually, and you never get to know the person. So when you get together, you bought the product and you figure out, I don't like this product after I bought it. Why? Because I didn't check out what was under the hood first. I didn't see what was in here. And we ain't compatible. I like a Jeep. I don't want a sports car. You follow me? If we took and we covered up the product a little bit more, maybe we get to know the person and maybe we'd have less problems. But that's a whole nother subject, and I don't want to get off of there right now. I already got enough there. So, basically she covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all the things he had done. He went in there and he laid down the whole story. And when Isaac heard this, he's like, oh yeah, okay. He had learned under his father. He's like, okay, if God wants her, that's the girl for me. Not a problem. So Isaac brought her into her mother, into his mother Sarah's tent and took Rebecca. So where's Isaac living right now? He's living in his mother Sarah's tent, right? Why? Because Isaac's a mama's boy. He misses his mother. I'm sure he does. But he grew up under his mother. He took her into her tent. He took Rebecca. She became his wife and he loved her. And Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. And that may be another reason why Abraham chose to do this at this time. Because you see Isaac, you see a man that is in his mother's tent even after this particular point. He has grown up probably with his mother all his life, you know, because she was an aged woman at that particular time. And, you know, she really, you know, she was 90 years old whenever he was born, and she died at 125. So that puts her about 35 years that he got to know her. So, you know, he's right at the right age to get married, and he had been with his mother. And whenever when Isaac was comforted at his mother's death, why? Because God brought a female presence back into his life. Something he probably needed at that particular time. Because let me tell you something, there's a lot of wild men out there that can go wild if we don't have females selling us down. Because that's another nature of man. Women are more settling to us. Whenever we get married, we tend to, or at least we should, but we tend to settle down a little bit more. Especially if you have the right wife. And if it's one of those women that took all the coverings off before, you may figure out that, like I said, you got that sports car and you didn't want it. You want that Jeep. Now you got problems. But I digress on that one. I want to do one more thing and then we're going to stop. So let's all turn. Let me see if I got to get my numbers right. What am I finding? Nope, that ain't it. Yeah. Well, but we also know that Abraham, he had to travel to where Sarah was at the time. Abraham, he had a vast empire of different stuff to handle. So he was always out working. My brother-in-law, he does hunting trips. He is away from the house probably 250 days of the year out about doing hunting stuff. And then he comes in and he goes out. That's kind of the idea. He'll come in and then he'll leave. So that's Sarah's tent. That's her house. And remember, there's no thing. The house is the woman's. That's my wife's house. She just lets me stay there.
Okay? Now, the only thing outside the house is mine, but that house is hers. And she allows me to stay in it. And if I try to clean something, it ain't good enough for her. So she told me, she's like, don't you ever want to do the dishes? I said, why? You're just going to redo them again. But anyway, I digress. Let's go to Luke 2. And read along with me if you would. Luke 2. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when... Am I in the right area? No, I'm not. This is not the birth of Christ, is it? It is. Okay. Okay. I just want to make sure. Okay. And the taxing was first made by when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. Joseph also went up to Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, under the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, an angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joys, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, laying in a manger. Suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God, saying, glory to God in the highest. On earth be peace, goodwill to men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into the heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us now even go even unto Bethlehem and to see this thing which came to pass, which the Lord hath made known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe laying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told to them concerning the child. And they heard, and that they heard it, wondered at those things which were told to them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things which they had heard and seen, as was told to them, unto them. And when 8 days were accomplished, the circumcising of the child, the name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And then jump over to John 1. And I want to read this. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. Excuse me.
Let me start over. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of man. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for witness, to bear witness to the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light, that the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many received him, to him he gave the power to become the sons of God, even them that believed on his name, which were born not of the blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we behold his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, "This is he whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me. For he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man has seen at any time, only the begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him." Understand, ladies and gentlemen, this is a time of year that we need to think about who Jesus was. Because who he is allows him to do what he said. He was God. He was a man. It's hard to wrap our heads around this. But during this time of the year, when we're getting all our presents and we're enjoying all our family, maybe we need to think about what God has given to us and the family that he has given to us. Now, I love y'all to death. I am closer to some of y'all than I am to my own family. Because when Jesus walked the world and people wanted to follow him, somebody wanted to follow him, and he said, "I need to go home and bury my parents, or bury them, or whatever." He's like, "Let the dead bury the dead. Come and follow me." He is our life. We are each family through him. Closer to our blood than our blood family, and we should always remember that. So I just wanted to talk about, go through that a little bit today. And I want to thank y'all for allowing me to come up and teach y'all. I want to thank y'all for all the criticisms I get sometimes, because I need that sort of stuff to draw me back and to put me back on the right path. I want y'all always to take, if y'all see something that it may not be on path, let's discuss it, because sometimes I might be wrong, and sometimes you might be wrong, and sometimes we both might be wrong. But if we're disagreeing, we both can't be right, can we? But we should be able to conjure each other. We are all children of God. We are all in the same family. And we have eternity together, ladies and gentlemen. And I want to thank y'all for this time that we have together. And thank y'all for coming out and listening to me bather on. Would you close this, Wes?